What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today is the man who has a hard time not being Superman, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
Yeah, that's to say the least. I'm learning how not to be over use of my body. So, yeah, I'm becoming less Superman and more humble man. And I think that's just the notion of the awareness of my age, as I should.
Yeah. Well, it is that, especially when we're talking about chores around the house, but it also has to do with taking over certain roles in our children's life and letting them figure things out and take care of things on their own. Now, we had a bit of a scare this week. I wouldn't say it was a scare. It was a little unsettling, though. Our son-in-law and daughter were driving home from church last week, and they come and spend the day with us typically on Sundays. They had our two grandchildren in the backseat of the car, and they were hit. They were in an accident, and their car, unfortunately, was totaled. When they called us, of course, you were filled with that. Is everybody okay? How can I help? And your immediate thought is, we've got to go and get them. We've got to get there and be there for them. But we also had to realize, like, okay, we're going to let them tell us what they need. And that's much a different role that you and I typically have been in the lives of our children, especially now that they're adults.
And honestly, I think it's more costly when we let them do their adult thing than when we did when we let them do their children thing. But we have to let them do that nonetheless. So it doesn't get easier. It gets more impressive of the humility you have to have as a parent. I don't think the kids getting older makes it easier for sure, but I think it makes it more aware that we had the same situation with our folks. They let us do what we needed to do. So in reciprocation of that, yeah, it's been hard.
I think for you and I also, in realizing that, again, once we realized everybody was safe, was that we were impressed with our son-in-law and our daughter taking care of business, finding all the insurance information, opening up the claim, getting the rental car all squared away so that way they had another vehicle so that way they can all get to work back and forth. They figured out some skills. And really, for you and I, we knew what needed to be done, but we also recognized that, well, they've got to be able to do this too. And they did. They did it, and they did it well. And so we kind of, at the end of the night, went, wow, that was really stressful, but they handled it. They most certainly handled it well.
Right. And I'm grateful that they did, because, you know, the life that we have is not any slower. And so taking on multiple adult things can be challenging for us. So letting them blossom, that was great. I just really, what you're like, to echo what you said, I was really impressed with what they were able to figure out. And whoever's been in an accident, you know, it's not easy.
No. 'Cause
you don't get in accidents regularly enough to know what to do per se. So you kind of have to take small steps and then try and move along quicker. And that's what they did. They took the small steps at the beginning, but yeah, thankfully they were not harmed, and nor was the woman who hit them. But they all were just really aware how fragile any given moment of a day can be.
That's it.
And that was the impressive part for them. For us, we've been there before. We've experienced these kinds of hiccups, and we just took it as part of our day. So
absolutely,
just hoping that.
So I'm glad that they have learned some things, and that means they are watching what we do. Now, we are well into this Advent season. Christmas is just really days away now. And I realize now, too, that our children watch us during this beautiful celebration, this time of preparation. They know that we keep Christ at the forefront of our thoughts. And that brings us to today's show. We don't have a special guest today, but we are going to be spending some time together talking about the celebration of Christmas. And most importantly, how we celebrate a Christmas with our Catholic traditions, because our children are watching us and we want them to imitate what we do.
And as we work with our children to be what they might decide to imitate, we remember our own responsibilities as adults that we want to share with you as we become grandparents.
Oh, and I cannot wait for that celebration with them, that's for sure. And I can't wait to spend more of today's show with all of you, our listeners. So stay with us. We got a great episode of this week's View from the Pew.
Please join Mater Dei Radio and Father Matt Libra in praying the St. Andrew Christmas Novena.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail, and blessed be the hour and moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in the piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, I beseech thee, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This novena is traditionally prayed 15 times a day, starting on St. Andrew's feast day, November 30th, until Christmas Eve. For more information and to find more of your favorite Catholic prayers, please download the free Hail Mary Media app onto your smartphone.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak.
Aloha. This is Bear Wozniak with Deep Virtue number 69. You know what's tough is when you're testing for your black belt and you got to do 100 push-ups without stopping. That's hard. You want to know what's harder? What's harder is when you're driving along on the highway and someone wants to cut you off to get into the lane, or you're in line at Starbucks and there's someone coming in the other doorway, so you make a big rush to get in there in front of them. There's kind of this feeling that we have that we deserve to be treated better than that other person. How many times have you made a rush to get in line from someone else? You kind of see them jockeying for position. You get there at the cashier's line at the grocery store first. You know what? God loves them as much as he loves you. He doesn't prefer you to them. You don't have a right or privilege to get in line in front of other people. So I'm going to give us a challenge for this week. For this week, let's do something really hard. Let's do the 100th push-up. Let's defer to other people as often as we can. Let's make a decision, whether it's to get in line in front of them at Starbucks, or they want to go to this movie and you want to go to that movie. I want us to make a decision to defer to others in love. Because God really does love them as much as he loves you. You don't get any special. We always feel so special sometimes to the Lord, but he loves everyone the same. And so I want us to take this next week until our next show to just defer to others in love. To me, that's harder than the 100th push-up. But something has happened to me in the last few years, and I find myself looking forward to giving way to other people in love. It just makes me feel like, you know, God loves them and God loves me, and I pray for them. So this is Bear Wozniak with Deep Adventure. You can find me at deepadventure.com.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak. Find out more at deepadventure.com.
You can enrich your faith life this Advent with Mater Dei Radio's Hail Mary Media app. On it, you'll find free Advent resources to help you prepare for the celebration of Christ's birth, like the St. Andrew Christmas Novena, the O Antiphons, and the Advent of Rescue Daily Gospel Reflections from Sister Teresa Harrell of the Society of Mary. Make sure to sign up for a reminder of Sister Harrell's reflections so you don't miss a day. The Hail Mary Media app also lets you share your Advent intentions with our powerful prayer team, find local holiday events on the community calendar, and so much more. Give yourself a gift and download it for free today. Search Hail Mary Media in the App Store or go to materdeiradio.com and follow the instructions. Prepare for the coming of Christ this Advent with the Hail Mary Media app from Mater Dei Radio, the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Family life can be hectic, but God can be found right in the middle of it. So take a moment for this week's View from the Pew.
All right, Scott. So all of it is on us today. We don't have a special guest to talk with us today, but we do have some great information available to us. I love traditions. I have all kinds of traditions, ethnic family traditions when we get together to celebrate, ways that we eat, ways that we stand up and be there for each other on big days like sacrament days when our children are receiving those. Christmas is no different. And while I realize that I can very easily get caught up in the gift giving and the decorating and the lights and all of those fun things that are part of this year's celebration, we are constantly reminding ourselves and our children, when especially when they were younger, that there is a very important thing that we focus on, and that is Christ. And we are talking about a Christ-centered Christmas, which is a long tradition for Catholics throughout history. I mean, we can pinpoint those traditions all the way back to the birth of Christ.
Yeah, and I think what it reminds us is that we are born into a family, and that family is the first representation of community that we experience. And here at Christmas time, you see families coming together for multiple events. In fact, this weekend at Seton Catholic High School, where I work now, we're going to be celebrating a toy drive. And all of the staff and students are coming to various aspects of this to help bring some joy and opportunity for families who don't have what they might otherwise desire for their children at Christmas. So I think there is a cascade effect of responsibility that we can be a part of. And it brings us to an awareness of the goodness that we can have at Christmas. And that's in contrast to what we might see when we go to the mall, where there is a big push for consumerism and expectations based upon that. But Christ is saying, bring me yourself and I will do the good work through you for others. And that's what we're, I think, most happy about at Christmas time.
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of our first topics, is why do we even exchange gifts with each other? And we think about this again, the story of the birth of Christ. Those magi, the wise men that came from distant lands, they brought him gifts. Well, obviously, we can't give a birthday present to Jesus. So in exchange, we share those gifts with each other. But you're right. The biggest thing that we can do is be gift of ourselves. I think it was several years ago, then we stopped the tradition of giving so many gifts. Our children were getting older. Right. And what we all realized is that the most important thing was time together. So what we would have spent on buying stuff for each other, we now put together and have a special event, a weekend at a cabin or time at the beach. Last year, in exchange for that time, we got the house rental in Eastern Washington. The whole family came, even from Southern California, so that way we could be present for our son-in-law being entered into the church through OCIA. Gift giving is important, but we can't let it get carried away, because the receiving of stuff is not what the tradition should be.
Right. And, you know, I think it generates from an authentic presence, and that is presence in the aspect of human presence to another, in St. Nicholas, where that really kicks off our Advent season. In that first week, we celebrate the Feast of St. Nicholas, and that's typically where we get this tradition of Christmas, Santa Claus, and that aspect of the societal view of that versus necessarily the church view of it. But what did St. Nicholas do with the gifts that he had? He brought happiness. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, the premise for why we still have a desire. We want to bring happiness to others through gifts. Now, our time is a big gift. And where we can spend that with family, where we can set down grudges and frustrations and judgments and say, let me just be present, literally present to you. And love you for the created person that you are, that if I love Christ, I have a responsibility to love another. And that another might be your in-laws, might be your neighbor, might be a person who is in need, who may be homeless. And we hear that journey through Advent season of Mary and Joseph looking for a place to stay. and they couldn't find a home. And then finally they find this place where there's not even a room for them, but the innkeeper says, there's a stable out back. Mm-hmm. There's basically a cave, a hovel out back that you could go and use that for the night. Gave what he had. I think that's those are the sorts of things that as we maybe get older, we start to see what is the tradition of Christmas really underpinned by. And for Catholics, for Christians, we have to hang on to the tradition of where this comes from. It comes out of our responsibility as Christians to give to one another, to be aware of one another, and to care for one another as Christ cares for us.
Scott, one of the things that you mentioned there too was that birth of Christ in a stable. That's one of the traditions that many families do, setting up in their own homes that nativity creche, a stable-looking structure with animals to place around it, and the shepherds and the wise men and Joseph and Mary looking down upon a Christ child in the manger. It is that nativity creche, and we have one that I've set up for many, many years. The focal point for our children was, though, too, was because the little Christ child in the manger, he wasn't in there until Christmas night. And so they would go to sleep when they were little at night, and when they would wake up in the morning, the first thing they would do is run to see if Jesus was in the stable. That creche, that was created by St. Francis of Assisi. And I'm amazed that they even know that it was in the year 1223. Now, here's a connection I want you to talk more about. I remember very fondly one of your homilies that you talked about the coming of Christ. And you compared it to the time when you had one of your first jobs, you were working for an equine vet and you used to have to go and muck stalls. And you made the connection about how stables where animals live are very dirty. And that's where Christ chose to come and lay in a dirty stable. That's us. He comes to lay in our own hearts, which can be full of muck.
Right. And I think that's in being present to others, we first have to allow Christ to be present to us. We have to have the heart of Christ. And Christ comes into the brokenness of who we are, into that muck of what we carry. And he reminds us that doesn't define us. The muck of the stall that Christ was born in doesn't define his royalty. His royalty is above that. As our humanity and the love and creative beings that we are by a loving God is above the sufferings that we endure, they don't define us. It's Christ who defines us. And so constantly in our Christmas traditions, we can find that redirection within our Catholic faith. And St. Francis, my role model, my patron saint, who is a deacon like me, represents how do we serve one another in community? And it's through service that we see God. We see the presence of Christ in our own lives. I see that constantly as I go out in a community and especially this time of year and bless homes, serve families, help families out because Christ has been present to me over and over again. That I've actually seen and been a part of this tangibleness of him. And I need to share that. That's the good news. We are not alone and we are not defined by the muck and the suffering and the tragedies of our life. It is Christ who defines us and will bring possibility to what seems impossible at times.
For so many families, too, this time of year just really calls to light, too, where that brokenness is, especially within family and within relationship. And you talk to people constantly about how that is a real deep hurt for people. What do you tell people when all around them there is joy, there is lightness, there are families getting together to be with each other, and for many people, and sometimes maybe this might be the very first year that they, for whatever reason, aren't going to be with their family. Maybe for somebody, there's been a loss, and they're not going to be able to experience the lightness and joy that this season brings. How can they still be Christ and still be present and welcome him into this world and into their own world when really they don't have a heart of joy to welcome Christ?
Right. Well, one of the great gifts we have as human beings is the tremendous ability to reflect, to look back on, and find those moments in our life that are good, right, and beautiful, marks of God's presence in our lives. And Chris, so much of Christmas season is remembering, right? It redirects us back to the beginning of Christ's life, redirects us back to the beginning of our faith. And we remember when we were kids as experiencing Christmas. We remember when we were teenagers. We have these moments that are valuable reminders of God's goodness. Yes, we have also a myriad of tragedies we might be able to place next to those, but we can't focus on the tragedies as being the definers of the love that God has. We have this potential, and I say it as I said before, potential to, in the impossibility, find possible a reminder that God is with me. He's been with me, and he promises, I will not leave you orphaned. We have to take Christ at his word. And I think when we get in times of struggle, we tend to cherry pick what applies to us, but never forget that he says that we'll have suffering in this life, but that he's overcome it. And he says, I will not leave you orphaned. So these are promises he gives us. So people, when they're hurting at Christmas time, because it's a time of family, it's a time of gathering, and it's a time when you're hurting and suffering from a loss, you want to be left alone. Well, Christ wants to be with you and hold you as he was held in the manger by his mother. He wants to hold you, and he wants his mother, who he gave to us on the cross, to hold us too. So we really have this moment in the season of our time, ordinary time through all the seasons of our church, to reflect now on, we've been born into a family, and the family that we might have been born into may not be the example we wanted, but the family that we are adopted into as Christians, as disciples of Christ, is the Holy Family. And so asking Mother Mary to embrace us in our sadness is a tremendous gift that we have, and a reminder that you and I are able to give through this radio podcast, that we are present to one another. We need community to reach that salvific promise that Christ gives us.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, in this community too, we travel together and we get closer to the end of this calendar year. Especially here in the Portland metro area in Southwest Washington, we're so far north, we really recognize the darkness that is entering the world. The sun, it comes up very late in the morning. It goes down early in the afternoon. And that brings us to the next tradition. And that is quite simply the lights, the candles, the Advent wreath that helps us count down. Winter is just a few days away, the shortest day of the year. And then a few days later on the calendar, it's Christmas. And from that moment on, we continue to gain light in the world. Christ came, an infant, helpless, to a world of darkness, and he is the light. A single light can light up a room. And so when we sit with our children, and now we sit with our grandchildren, and they turn the lights off, and the lights on the mantle are on, or on the Christmas tree, it is lit up and it is golden, and they are in awe of it. Do we look at the Christ child and we remember him born in Bethlehem in a stable? Do we carry that awe that children have when they look and gaze upon the light?
Right. You know, the Advent wreath, we just oftentimes take as, oh, that's just a standard decoration that people put out at this time of year. But for us as Catholics, it's a reminder of those theological virtues of faith, hope, and love that are represented in the very first candle is hope. The candle that follows, the purple candle that follows in the second week, is peace. And then that third candle, that pink candle that we're celebrating this week, is rejoicing. Gaudete Sunday begins that, and we rejoice because there is joy that comes into the world through the Christ child, through the Holy Family, that promises that what we have suffered, what the darkness has been, is not defining who we are. So we remind one another of that. And then the final candle that we'll light this weekend coming up is the candle for love. And Jesus comes fully in love with us. And he wants us to fall in love with him. And this is a beautiful time to remember that. Let me fall in love with you, Lord, with all that I have. That's the only gift I can bring you. It just reminds me of the passage of the Bible that speaks about burnt offerings aren't enough. You know, we can bring whatever gift we think we're bringing, but he wants our contriteness. He wants our heart, our contrite heart of love for him. That's the greatest gift we can bring. We bring that magnifies through him to affect those around us, our families, our community, those who are in need.
So from Deacon Scott and I, our wish for you and your family is to find the peace and the love that only Christ can bring into a world of darkness this Christmas season. Thank you so much for listening today and for all year joining us on The View from the Pew. Scott, before we end today, will you end us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the great gift of the Holy Family. Help our families to reflect that beauty, that joy, that hope that Mary, Joseph, and you bring into the world again this Christmas season. Help us to be open to that and share that as gift to others. And may we recognize that we are adopted into your family. We are not alone. And we thank you, Lord, for this Christmas season that you give us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our view from the pew.
Continue having a blessed Advent and Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at monterdayradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Monterdayradio in Portland, Oregon.